The title of our message, The Return of Israel to Her Land, Ezekiel 37, 11 through 14. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land, then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Israel is the only nation in the world of whom God's word gives a complete history. The Jew is the only man on earth who has a country promised to him by his Creator, a country on this earth forever. In our previous message, we established from God's word Israel's ownership of the land. And we saw that she has the title deed to everlasting ownership in the Abrahamic covenant. We saw in our first message on Israel that God is not finished with the nation of Israel. And we're going to see in today's message that God is not finished with the land of Israel either. Our text is taken from the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, which relates that vision of the valley of dry bones given by God to the prophet Ezekiel. In this vision, God set Ezekiel down in the midst of a valley full of dry bones, and he told him to prophesy to these bones. Ezekiel did so, and the bones started to shake and to come together. And then muscles and flesh and skin began to come up upon them. God then sent breath into them, and they lived and stood up a great army, the scripture says. Our text is God's very clear explanation to Ezekiel of the meaning of this vision of the valley of dry bones. God tells Ezekiel that the explanation is that God will bring the people of Israel back from their graves among the nations of earth and will place them in their own land someday. Look at verses 12 and 14 of our text. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your grave and bring you into the land of Israel. Verse 14, And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Today's message deals with Israel's return to the land. The first matter we need to consider here is that of where Israel has been. Why does she need to return to her land? Where has she been? Israel, for many centuries, has been scattered among the nations of the earth. Her scattered condition we often refer to as the diaspora. Diaspora is simply a Greek word meaning dispersion. It refers to the scattering of the Jews to countries outside of Israel after the Babylonian captivity and later after the Roman destruction of Jerusalem. The term also refers to the body of Jews living throughout the Gentile world. Today, if we say the diaspora, we talk about Jews all over the world living out there someplace away from their land. In Old Testament times, God threatened Israel with dispersion if she forsook him and lived in sin. Deuteronomy 28:63 through 67, for example, is a prophecy given to Israel just as she was getting ready to enter Canaan under Joshua 3,400 years ago. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 28 and read verses 63 and 64. Deuteronomy, the fifth book in the Bible, 28, verses 63 and 64. This is the prophecy of Israel's dispersion or diaspora. And remember, it was given when they were entering the land. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. Through Hosea, in Hosea 9:17, God threatened Israel with dispersion, and he told them, he said, listen, you will be wanderers among the nations if you continue in sin. Turn to Hosea, chapter 9, verse 17. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, chapter 9, and verse 17. This is God speaking, threatening dispersion to Israel. My God will cast them away, meaning Israel, because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. The Jews have, throughout the centuries, been called the wandering Jew. You know, we used to grow a plant in Alabama. It was purple. It was called wandering Jew. One of my favorite plants. It was named after the fact of the dispersion. You can grow wandering Jew anywhere. This scattering or dispersion happened to Israel just as God said that it would. God gave Israel the land that he had promised Abraham, and they defiled the land with their sin. They went into terrible, hideous idolatry and child sacrifice and witchcraft, and God scattered them with the Babylonian captivity. God later gave them the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah, and they denied him, they rejected him, they crucified him, crying in John 19:15, away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! And we have no king but Caesar. Here's what God said to Solomon about the reason for the diaspora in 1 Kings 9, 7 through 9. Let's turn back over to that. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. 1 Kings 9, verses 7 through 9. This is what God said to Solomon about the reason for the diaspora. 1 Kings 9, 7 through 9. Then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them. And this house, meaning the temple, which I have hallowed for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And at this house, which is high, everyone that passeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss, and they shall say, why hath the Lord done thus and thus? Why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. Israel forsook the God of her fathers. So God chastised them, as he warned that he would do. He scattered them among the nations. Israel has been scattered among the nations now for more than 2,500 years. In 586 B.C., she was removed from her land by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and the city of Jerusalem and the land remain under Gentile domination more or less even until this very day. All during those 25 long centuries, the Jews have been wandering and running from one country to another, seeking rest and finding none. Only a relatively small number of Jews chose to return to the land at the end of the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity. When this small remnant returned to the land beginning in 522 B.C., the Jewish population in the land never exceeded about 20,000. So this was not a majority of the Jews returning at this time. At the time of Christ, the number of Jews living in other countries far exceeded the number of those living in Israel itself. Turn to John chapter 7 and verse 35. Here we have mention of the diaspora in the day of the Lord Jesus. John 7, verse 35. John 7, 35. Then said the Jews among themselves, "Whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles?" The Lord, they were talking about the diaspora. Turn to Luke 21 and verse 24. Luke 21 and verse 24. Here the Lord Jesus pronounced judgment on that small remnant that was in the land in his day. Luke 21, 24. "And they," the Jews, "shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Acts 2 mentions 15 different nations from which Jews had come to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. Saul of Tarsus was a part of the diaspora. He was a Pharisaic Jew who lived not in the land of Israel, but in Tarsus, which is today what is called the land of Turkey. Wherever the Apostle Paul went on his missionary journeys, he preached in the synagogues. He began by going to the synagogue and preaching. How was he able to do that? Because of the diaspora, there were synagogues in every city, every major city in the world. James, the Apostle, in James 1 and verse 1, addresses his epistle to, quote, "to the 12 tribes scattered abroad," unquote, meaning to Jews in the diaspora who had become Christians. Josephus, the Jewish historian, in and after 70 A.D., mentions Jewish communities all over the known world at the time. In his book, Antiquities, book 14, chapter 7, paragraph 2, Josephus quotes the Roman geographer Strabo as speaking of Cyrene in North Africa. Here's what he said, quote, "This people," meaning the Jews, "has already made its way into every city, and it is not easy to find any place in the habitable world which has not received this nation and in which it has not made its power felt," unquote. In the first century A.D., Philo, the Jewish philosopher, estimated that there were 1 million Jews living in Alexandria in Egypt, outside the land. Yet, despite the diaspora, the Jews still exist just as God promised that they would. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 36. Jeremiah 31, verse 36. God promises here that Israel as a nation, or Israel, the Jews as a people, we would say, shall exist forever. If those ordinances, and God is talking here about the sun and the moon and the stars, if you look at the previous verses, "if those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever." That's a pretty solid promise, isn't it? Israel has been swallowed up by the nations, but she has been miraculously preserved as a people. Who can explain it? No other people has survived as long as Israel has as a people. 25 centuries have rolled by since Israel was plucked up from off their land. Many generations of them. I tried to figure it out. If you figure 40 years for a generation, there's 53 generations. If you figure 20 years for a generation, there's 106 generations. Many generations of them have lived and died, and yet to this day, they remain as a distinct people. The Jews are the only nation on earth that has not been assimilated into the nations where they have gone. What an amazing phenomenon that after Rome destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD and murdered all of those Jews, all kinds of estimates of how many they murdered, and after Adolf Hitler killed 6 million of them in the Holocaust, and after all of the persecutions in between and since, the Jews as a people still survive. The only explanation is that God has a purpose for them that He has not yet accomplished. Next, we shall consider the fact that God's Word promises that Israel shall return to her land. I went through my Bible and underlined in red every verse that I could find where God promised Israel that she would return to her land. And, brother, my Old Testament's just got a whole lot of red. I want us to read some of these, because there's so many people that deny that God has anything left for Israel today. There's always been a Jewish presence in the land. Always been some of them there, but no nation of Israel in the land during the diaspora. God's Word promises that Israel will go back to her land in a national capacity. God has declared in His Word that the Jews will be restored to the promised land. The Word of God is literally crowded with promises that Israel shall return to her land. We're going to look at several of them here. First of all, in Ezekiel, from which we have taken our text this morning, Ezekiel 37, but in verses 1 through 10, God had given Ezekiel the vision of the valley of dry bones. And now in our text, in verses 11 through 14, God explains the meaning of this vision as a promise that Israel will return to her land. That's what the vision of the valley of dry bones is all about. You know, when I was a child and when I was at the university, we sang that song, them bones, gonna rise again. And we laughed about that. We thought it was fun. We loved that song. We really didn't know what that meant. That's taken from the Scripture. That's God's promise of what's going to happen to Israel. These bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my Spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Turn with me to these as we look at them. Deuteronomy 30, verses 3 through 5. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 3 through 5. And I hope you notice that we're going to quote Scripture from all the different periods of Israel's history. Before the kingdom, during the kingdom, and after the kingdom. And all of them. In all of those periods, God promised that Israel will return to the land. Deuteronomy 30, verses 3 through 5. Moses predicted that Israel would return to the land. Then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. Let's move to another period of Israel's history. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah was written about 750 to 700 B.C. Isaiah 11, verses 11 and 12. Deuteronomy was written about 1450 B.C. Isaiah about 700 years later, about 750 to 700 B.C. Isaiah 11, 11 and 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Patras and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Now look at Isaiah 14:1. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 1. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. In Jeremiah's time, about 150 years later, the Jews were in captivity in Babylon. And God raised up Jeremiah the prophet to give them the good and comforting news that he would restore them to their land. Turn to Jeremiah 16, verses 14 through 16. Jeremiah chapter 16, verses 14 through 16. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. Turn to Jeremiah 30 and verse 3. Jeremiah 30 and verse 3. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Jeremiah 31, 10. Chapter 31, verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. Hear the word of the Lord. This is God speaking. The scattering of Israel mentioned here was literal, and thus the gathering will be literal also. God says here that the same people that he scattered, the Jews, will be gathered, the Jews. He does not say he that scattered the Jews will gather the church. Doesn't say that. Jeremiah 31, verses 35 through 37. Here, it's interesting to note that God says that he's going to restore Israel to her land with his whole heart. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. Now turn to Ezekiel 11. Ezekiel was written during the captivity. Ezekiel was one of the captives that Babylon had carried off. Ezekiel 11. And verse 17, therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. Now look at Ezekiel 39 and verse 28. Ezekiel 39 and verse 28. Here God says that he is going to bring back every last Jew to the land. Then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, but I have gathered them unto their own land and have left none of them any more there. Nothing to this day has even come close to this. There has been a beginning of the return, I believe, but it's not anywhere near this yet. Turn to Amos chapter 9. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, chapter 9, and verse 14. Amos 9, 14, and I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. One other verse, Zechariah, next to the last book in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. This promise that Israel will someday return to her land is stated and restated in every period in Israel's history in God's Word. Now, what we are talking about today, my friends, is scriptural. It is in God's Word. And it is as clear as crystal. These promises are clear, definite, and distinct. They must be interpreted literally. In the face of so many clear scriptures, why, oh why, do some insist that these promises must be interpreted spiritually? In His Word, God assures Israel that He will bring them back, plant them in their land, and never allow them anymore to be plucked out of it forever. How many times does God have to say this before we will believe it? Charles Spurgeon, in his great sermon on Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10, the Valley of Dry Bones, said this, quote, and I wish that many of these preachers who are so fond of quoting Spurgeon would hear this, quote, there is to be a political restoration of the Jews. Her sons are scattered far and wide. Her daughters mourn beside all the rivers of the earth. No king reigns in Jerusalem, but she is to be restored as from the dead. Her scattered bones are to be brought together. I will place you in your own land, is God's promise to them. If there be meaning in words, this must be the meaning of this chapter. I wish never to learn the art of tearing God's meaning out of His own words. If there be anything clear and plain, the literal sense and meaning of this passage, a meaning not to be spiritualized away, must be evident that Israel is to be restored to their own land. They are to be restored and they are to be converted to. Unquote. Finally, this morning, when will Israel return to her land? I don't have time to deal with this like I want to. I'm just going to have another sermon on Zionism someday, the Lord willing. But I'll tell you just a little bit of what I've learned in studying the Word of God in this matter. When will Israel return to her land? Israel will return to the land before the time when God saves all Israel, which is foretold in Romans 11:26. You remember the first message. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. We pointed out in that message that the return of Israel is just previous, sometime previous to the coming of the Lord when all Israel will be saved. The return of Israel to her land must take place before the return of Christ. Ezekiel 36, 24 through 28 tells us this. Also, let's turn to that. Ezekiel 36, 24. Through 28. Ezekiel 36, 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you and ye shall be clean. That's the salvation of Israel. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. It'll be just before God intervenes and saves all Israel. Now we also know that Israel's return to the land will take place before the battle of Gog and Magog, which is revealed in the 38th chapter of Ezekiel. Let's turn to that chapter. We don't have time to read that entire thing, but We'll read a verse or two or three here. Before the battle of Gog and Magog that is revealed here, God is speaking to a man named Gog, G-O-G, who is the prince of the land of Magog. Verse 8 of Ezekiel 38. After many days, thou, Gog, shalt be visited. In the latter years, thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people. That's Israel. Against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely among them. Then verses 11 and 12. And thou, Gog, shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil, and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, that's Israel, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. So Israel's going to return before this great battle of Gog and Magog. Now it's difficult to locate the exact time of this battle, other than it takes place sometime near the end. Now if you disagree with me about when the battle of Gog and Magog will take place, I'm not going to fall out with you because I can't be real sure myself. I just know it's somewhere near the end. This return of Israel to her land will also take place at the end of Gentile domination over the land of Israel. Turn with me to Luke 21 and verse 24. Luke 21 and verse 24. Israel's return will take place sometime at the end of Gentile domination over the land of Israel. This is the Lord Jesus. And he says, and they, he's talking about the Jews, shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. The times of the Gentiles, as we study the book of Daniel, began with the Babylonian captivity and will continue until Armageddon, when the Lord Jesus Christ will come and intervene on Israel's behalf. Now turn to the book of Joel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Joel 3, verses 1 and 2, speaks of Armageddon in connection with the return of Israel to her land. Now remember, this is talking about the battle of Armageddon, and he talks about this in connection with Israel's return. For behold, in those days and at that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. That valley of Jehoshaphat is right outside the city of Jerusalem. On the eastern side, there's a Jewish cemetery there, an ancient Jewish cemetery. That's the valley of Jehoshaphat. Now turn to Hosea chapter 3, the book before Joel. Hosea chapter 3 and verse 4 speaks of the condition of Israel during the diaspora. Hosea 3:4, God says here, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image and without an ephod and without teraphim. Then verse 5 goes on to say afterward, meaning after those things just mentioned, after the diaspora, shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Now here, the return of Israel is put at the end of the diaspora. And more importantly, it is put near the return of Christ to the earth, because David their king here is widely understood to be a reference to Christ, who is the seed of David. Now turn to Zechariah 12:10, next to the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah 12:10, also chapter 13 and verse 1, we'll read that. Zechariah 12:10 says, And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. This has reference to the conversion of all Israel when the Lord Jesus comes again. Then look at 13:1. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Israel will obviously have to be in Jerusalem and in the land in order for them to benefit from this fountain that's going to be opened for cleansing. Zechariah 14:4 goes on in the same context to speak of the return of Jesus Christ, whose feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives. And so, when the Lord Jesus returns to this earth, or shortly before that, God will complete the regathering of Israel to her land. Now, none of these prophecies at which we have looked today were fulfilled when the small remnant of Israel returned from the Babylonian captivity beginning in 522 B.C. Some did return, but it was a small remnant. It was not this return of all the nations. Every Jew today, every Jew that returns to the land today ought to be a solemn reminder to Christians to watch, to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful today for your nation of Israel and what your word teaches about it. Father, we draw comfort and encouragement and strength from realizing that your people shall never be cast away. This applies to Israel, and this applies to us who are your elect in this age. We're grateful that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. You never change your mind. You never renege on your promises. Now, Father, we pray today that you'd help us to be able to see the events going on around us and be aware and look up, because we realize that the return of Christ may be drawing near. Help us to live our lives in hope and expectancy of that, the greatest event and the climax of all history, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Christ Jesus' holy name and for his sake. Amen.